This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Reading feeds the mind. It broadens the mind. In this next conversation, you're going to understand why. Just the words on a page, in a book, can help you transcend to a space beyond time, and it makes your mind so fertile to read, crafting thoughts that and concepts and images that would just be hard to fathom in a metaphysical space. I'm trying to be very clever, but what I'm basically saying is we should all be reading much, much more. Now, Liduduma Lingani Mqombothi is regarded as the cool kid of South African literature. He's the winner of a very prestigious prize, the Kane Prize for African Writing, for his short stories, Memories We Lost. He is now the curator of the 2022 African Book Festival, which is scheduled to take place in Berlin next week in Germany. And the festival is themed Yesterday, Today, Tomorrow, and it's going to focus on South African literature and culture and help us really sort of recraft a lot of misconceptions, myths about the country and South Africa, and also a lot of the negative international press that South Africa and the African continent in particular have received, because there's power in words, there's power in imagery, and there's power in repetitive storytelling, whether right or wrong. And so right now, I'd like to introduce to you and warmly welcome Liduduma Lingani Mqombothi and say to you, Guten Tag, wie geht es dir?
Well, you know, it's on me that I haven't learned to say hello in German.
Are you in Berlin at the moment?
I live on Tuesday for Berlin. I'm still in
South Africa. You've got ample time to get it right. So when you get to the festival, you'll just say to them, "Ich möchte Sie herzlich willkommen heißen im whatever the festival is called," is what you're going to say. I'll give you a crash course after this interview. But I'm being facetious. Firstly, let's start with your beautiful name. You could hear I was hesitating as I said it because I didn't want to mispronounce it. Liduduma Lingani. So it's thundering without the rain.
Yes, that's what it means, yes.
And what was going on around the time of your birth, thundering without the rain? That is so beautiful.
It's also a clan name, so I think it comes from that.
That, and really, I think a lot of the time, the storytelling of who we are as a people begins with the name, don't you think?
Absolutely, it does. Names are, I mean, you read any African fiction, the names are important. They're not just names, they mean something. So, yeah.
Oh, we've got to love our cultures for that. Okay, so congratulations to you, the curator of the book festival this year. What do you want to do with this project?
I mean, so in your introduction, you were speaking about reading, and I think part of my agenda with this festival this year is to exactly talk about that, is to think about what books did we read as we were growing up as the writers of today, and what books are the writers of tomorrow going to read? So it's really a conversation about books and lineage for me. It's about texts that have existed before my own text could exist, and what those texts have allowed me to do as a South African writer, to imagine these worlds that people like Zix and Da have opened up to me. People like Cindy Somagona have opened up for me as a young writer. So that's what the festival is about.
Yeah, I remember reading one Cindy Somagona book, and she was living in New York at the time, and it was about her sort of her observations of young women growing up in the Eastern Cape where she comes from. But you know, there's nothing as amazing as knowing that the writer is alive, that she's somebody who you can actually talk to, engage. And now that she's been doing a lot of tours around South Africa, it brings the words on her page to life, because often we think this is mystical, the literature is mystical, it's over there, but it's made up of real people with real human experiences around us. And I think that's why these literary festivals are so important.
They absolutely are. And you know, the fact that this one is in Berlin, and you know, in Germany, also offers us an opportunity to be present within the German audience, which, you know, it's one thing to kind of experience people's stories in text, but like you were saying, it's quite another to actually see these people that are writing this text.
And say to them, was this your experience? Because it makes the resonance that much deeper, I think.
Absolutely does. Absolutely does.
So when somebody says to you, come and curate something, they're saying to you, take pieces of the material and make it something coherent, something that everybody can immerse themselves into and people can start to discuss. So how do you see your role curating this book festival in Berlin, and why this particular theme, yesterday, today, tomorrow?
I mean, so part of the identity of the festival is that it always revolves around the curator. So if you get selected as a curator, it's almost a selfish idea to bring what you think is important. Mm-hmm. And so part of my I grew up in the villages in the Eastern Cape, and part of my experience in reading was to always read writers that I didn't know. So yes, I would read Nigerian writers and get to experience Lagos and Ibadan. And so part of the immediate thinking that I had was it would be so lovely to have an older writer in conversation with a younger writer. You know, a writer who's got 15 books opposed to a writer who's got one book. But the idea there is to really get these texts that are old and new to be in conversation. So that immediately became clear to me, because that's how I became a writer, by reading other people.
I love what you've just said about reading Pan-African literature, because I think my love for the African continent began from reading the books of Ngugi Wa Thiong'o, Sembeni Osmani, Nawal al-Sadawi, the Egyptian, really touched me a lot. You know, she wrote a seminal book called God Dies by the Nile. And to this day, I've never even been to Egypt or to the Nile, never mind my extensive travels across Africa. I've not yet seen and witnessed this country. And yet I feel like I know it so, so much. And I think because it's biblical, we all know the stories around ancient Egypt. But that a lot of those images we can still trace a lot of that in the modern day, makes it that much more real. So this is why I think it's important for many young Africans to write, because we may know something about ancient Africa, but we can connect those dots into modern day Africa, and we can, you know, transcend the oral history storytelling to the written, published, archived storytelling, which hasn't really happened on the African continent. We don't have the words on a page in libraries to say, no, this is data and we can mine this data.
I mean, that's important. And part of that work for me is, of course, people have to produce books, but also part of that is to have the conversations so that we keep the ideas alive. So we keep these ideas that today someone can reimagine Chinua Achebe's Chike in the River in a new way, so that we all get to experience a text that, you know, younger generations went around when it came out. But if someone, my generation, can reimagine that, and then we continue this kind of lineage, so that even the archiving stays alive, that it's not a thing that sits in museums and gets dusty, that it's in the everyday.
When you say recreating an existing work, what do you mean? Is it just borrowing, you know, being inspired by it, or retelling that story? Isn't that a form of a plagiarism and a bastardization of something?
Oh, no, it's not. You just have to acknowledge it, of course. You can't pretend that you don't know what you're doing. But for me, I guess in a way, it's not so much a direct reimagining of that work, but it's to know that when you're writing as a young writer today, you're writing within this kind of lineage, that you don't think you're writing outside of that, that you are continuing these ideas of that older writers have presented already in the audience.
So if I said to you today, and it's probably something that might come up for you in Berlin, when people say to you, what is the African story of today? What are the many different images that are going to come up around Africa when we read contemporary literature?
I mean, for me at the moment, at least, it's the idea that African writers are beginning to think and rethink what African spirituality is, and in what ways that kind of works with Christianity or works against or works to the future. I mean, I grew up in the villages and people would slaughter a goat today and go to church tomorrow. And there wasn't, people weren't conflicted about that. It wasn't a contradiction. So at the moment, I'm obsessive about how do we write African spirituality in a way that isn't looking at it as a kind of the other and the uncivilized. And so that's my current obsession, I guess, as a reader, first of all.
I do enjoy what you've just said, is that the identity of being African is so complex. You can be worldly and yet be so local in your Absolutely. Cultural take. And you can be a feminist and yet still in some ways love aspects of what we call patriarchy or cultural patriarchy. You know, you can be a modernist, but be very religiously conservative at the same time. So it's about teasing out those facets of our identity.
It is. And for me, it's about offering them this kind of same platform to entertain them and to interrogate them and to come out of them having fully understand them. And I think that's my, you know, that's what I'm really excited about.
So not only are you a writer, you're a filmmaker and a photographer. So I guess you're an artiste in every sense of the word. How do you bring all these elements of your creativity together? So how do you perhaps find a synergy between a short story you're writing and a documentary maybe that you're making and the photography around the stories you're telling?
You know, I've been answering this question for so long.
I'm the first person who ever asked you that question.
But now, you know, it changes every day, right? You know, you asked me yesterday, I have a different answer, and tomorrow I have a different one. But I think what I guess what I've figured out is that all of these are concerned with imagery and storytelling. Whether I'm making a photograph or I'm writing a paragraph or I'm writing an essay, for me, it's about how do I create a good enough picture for the audience. So as you are reading a paragraph, you must be able to kind of see it as the reader. And that for me is the similar thing. And even in terms of stories, I think I move around the same stories. I move around the small people in the city or the small people in the villages and how they live and how that kind of context has its own merits and its own identities and nuances. And that comes across in the films and the photography and the text.
All right. I'd like us just to digest what you're saying. We're speaking to the curator of the African Book Festival in Berlin, taking place from today up until the end of August, effectively, in Berlin, Germany. He is a young South African, the winner of the Kane Prize for African Writing for his short story, Memories We Lost, and with a beautifully imaginative name, Liduduma Lingani. Liduduma is the thunder before the rain. Lingani refers to the rain that hasn't yet come. Ah, we love our parents for the names they give us.
Thought-provoking conversations with Lerato Mbele, 9 a.m. to midday.
And we're talking about an award-winning author and also curator of the African Book Festival to take place in Germany, Berlin in Germany. Freddie Letswalo says, you know, I agree. Traditional reading expands the mind a great deal. You know, all reading expands the mind a great deal. However, Freddie says, I believe engaging with people, sometimes just differing with them for the sake of it, even when you do sort of agree, so really just having banter, it stretches the mind and takes you further than where you thought it was possible. Can I ask a very controversial question, Liduduma Lingani? Do you think South Africans read enough? And I'm going to tell you something. So there is the iconic Maponya Mall in Soweto. And it was the first shopping mall to be built, shopping mall of that scale, to be built in this iconic township, Soweto. And it was a lifelong dream of this great businessman, Richard Maponya. And they, you know, and they built a mall akin to the very best, the V&A Waterfront, Sandton City, and they built it there in Soweto. And they obviously rented out shop space to many, many retailers. And when it opened, there was an exclusive box. But we're told that the very first store to close, because they were making zero money, zero profit, they had no foot traffic, was Exclusive Books at the Maponya Mall. And I was saddened to hear that, is that less than a year after the opening of this first ever big mall in Soweto, the first store to close shop was the bookshop, because that sort of reinforced a stereotype. And I want to be careful what I'm saying. But do you think it's true that black people don't read, black South Africans don't read? And if they don't read, if it is true, could that be at the heart of some of the problems we have about being able to just engage with one another in a meaningful, respectful way? Because we don't know each other very well. We don't read about each other, each other's cultures, learn about each other, about the world. I think we've just lost Letutuma Malingani Mqomboti. He probably just thought to himself, this is the question I am not willing to answer at this point in time. But I can see that the producers are getting him back on the line. It's also load shedding. And when that happens, when the electricity is rationed, it interferes with a lot of the networks. Letutuma Malingani Mqomboti, I was asking you a question about why you would think, what reason would you provide if you could fathom a guess or hazard a guess as to why an Exclusive Box would shut down at the Maponya Mall?
I mean, so I think there's a very long answer to this, which for me is economical, right? So I don't think that black people don't read, but I do think that there's barriers to black people reading. And one of them for me is the price of books in this country.
Yeah.
And that for me is a huge one, because, you know, a child or a household in Soweto has a choice between buying bread and buying a book, or buying small groceries for the week and buying a book. And that's it's an easy consideration for them. It's definitely the groceries over the book.
Yeah.
So I think that's one problem. And I think, you know, of course, you know, there's ways around, or there's been conversations of how to put the prices of books down, which, you know, the government has to get involved because they tax books, and that puts the price up. The other one for me is also what you were talking about earlier, that we have to get the idea of reading into everyday conversations, because I think that then we can begin to have a reading culture that completely exists. Whether people go to the library to get the books, if they can't afford them, we just need to have kids reading, and that's it. And so it's those two things for me, and none of them have a week-long solution. It's going to take us years to get there.
You know, I'm going to voice something, and I'm going to put everyone on the spot. You, me, Power FM listeners, and Power FM the station. I was moving house a few years ago, and I realized I had too many books. And I dabbled with the idea of, you know, creating a little bit of a library. So building a little bit of a library space in my home, or just giving away the books. And I decided to do that. And there were lots of books. And there were fresh contemporary books from Chimamanda to Teji Cole, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie to Teju Cole, and many of those sorts of writers. And I remember going to the Pimville Library, and I just arrived and I said, I've got books. And I'm telling you, I'd never seen so many young people swarming around me. They'd been at the library doing their homework.
Yeah.
But the library was empty. The shelves were empty. There were no books. And here were these modern books of writers that they were hearing about. Modern, you know, Taya Selassie. I had all these books on me and they wanted them. And they just asked the librarian, could you catalog them quickly so that we could do it? And I thought to myself, you know what we can all do? We can just go into our bookshelves at home, find the books we're no longer reading, and make massive donations to libraries in our communities. And I think Power FM, we can do that. We can say to the staff, what are the books you're not reading? We can say to our listeners, here is a drop box at Powerhouse. Let us collect books. Let us give them to libraries on behalf of Power FM and the community of Power FM. And somebody like you, you could help us. Could you not help us?
I can, absolutely. I mean, I have been collecting books, and I gave away some books in my own libraries in the villages. So, and people are willing to do this. People, when I put out the call to collect the books from my own libraries, I had so many that I had to split them between two libraries because people were giving the books.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, there's champions of these things in Soweto as well. So people who are doing this work already. So it would be amazing to also partner up with those people, because they have a reach in the community to collect the book.
Let's do this. And then finally, one of the important things you're doing is looking at narratives around Africa, but particularly South Africa, post COVID-19. Why do you think it's important to really sort of engage issues about questionable narratives of a continent in crisis and using so? Why do you say how South Africa's been covered is unfair?
I don't remember ever saying that, but I will answer you.
Okay, so I apologize. I'm reading notes here that apparently that's what you've said. So let us not attribute statements to you.
I could have said it, but now I don't remember it. But, I mean, so my thinking around this is the challenge with this kind of festival with African authors happening in Berlin, for me, was I would love a conversation about books on history, books on war. But what does that say about the kind of works that come out of the continent? So then I had to entertain this idea that there's other ways to write about the continent, and what are those ways?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to kind of, you know, I wanted the German audience to know that we can also write comedy. I wanted them to know that we can write futuristic books. And that was part of thinking around how do we give them a full idea of who we are as Africans rather than a very kind of similar and pervasive idea of who they think we are.
Yeah, I do. And you know what? German people, for all intents and purposes, are really quite great at debate and being challenged in that way. And I think you're going to have a really wonderful, receptive audience for as long as it's all backed up. So we wish you well with the African Book Festival. I hope that a lot of local media, including Deutsche Welle, cover the work that you're doing so that there's more reach. And we want to congratulate you on your many, many literary awards. Liduduma Lingani Mqomboti, Kane Prize for African Writing winner in 2016, and now the curator of the African Book Festival in Germany.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.